Welcome back, guys. DGS 205. 1 hour from now, we're going to have the great Bernie Miklas on with us. Wish we had happier things to talk about with the Cardinals, but at least it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's not been a great stretch. I saw this. Who put it out? I think it was Fox Sports just put this out today. Yeah, it was Fox Sports. Everybody's record since the All-Star break, and only four teams have been worse than the Cardinals since the All-Star break.
What a strange
two
seasons.
Yeah, this one obviously not nearly as bad as last year, right. But this year's been the roller coaster, right?
Although
you start
almost,
off terribly, then you go amazing, and now you're back.
Yeah, almost more frustrating because we got all hyped up there for a while.
Yeah, and it's you can still recover from it. I mean, you're only three and a half games out, but I think the wild swings freaks people out, and I understand that completely.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you as angry as last year, because last year was brutal. That's a terrible season. This one is right now the definition of mediocre, you're 500, but it's the up and down nature that's frustrating.
Aren't sports weird?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, sports are weird, and the way we treat them is weird.
Yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars over grown men playing a little kid sport. I mean, I love it, but it's weird.
Yeah, everything we do is weird, though.
Yeah,
I mean, like
we pretend to be other people.
We like fake stories more than we like real stories.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, because I don't think there's any question that, I mean, if you go back as far as you want to in civilization,
mm-hmm.
there have always been plays,
mm-hmm. and sports.
Operas, sports, because we like to be distracted by things that are not just our normal day-to-day
licking
life.
Frogs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Eating mushrooms.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Razor's Edge.
All right. So I wanted to talk about this opinion piece I saw by a woman named Asiana Tepfenhart. She wrote an opinion piece called America Has a Terrifying Infantilization problem that no one is talking about. And she's basically talking about Generation Alpha. And I don't want this segment to come across as me criticizing Gen Alpha in any way, because they're children. So it's more about the way these children are being parented and the mm-hmm. way, and
right.
less so even, you know, a commentary on the parents, and more just how society has changed.
And Gen Alpha would be preteens and younger.
Younger, yeah.
Yes. So she says, simply put, the milestones my friends and I reached aren't being reached at the same age anymore. Talking about things like knowing friends whose children are not allowed to use a microwave or a stovetop by the time they're 10 years old and you can't use the mm-hmm. microwave yet, mm-hmm. but parents are making the decision of like, oh, I just don't think they're ready. Things like children are being potty trained later and later. She brings up the fact that she went by a daycare and there was a sign up that said that you need to be potty trained to attend here. And that was surprising to her, because in the past, if you entered a pre-K type situation and weren't potty trained, like, you'd probably be bullied by the other kids for not being potty trained. Nowadays, it's just a lot more acceptable mm-hmm. for that to be the case. Mm-hmm. Not getting your driver's license whenever you turn 16 years old. People are just more willing to put that off. And she also talks about some teenagers who are 18 years old who still have curfews or are banned from going outside without permission. And she says that goes beyond hover parenting. It's actually alarming. My question for you guys is, do you, you know, obviously without doxing anyone in your personal lives, do you see things like this happening? And why do you think that it seems to be happening in mass, that people are, it seems like they're trusting their kids less and less, or less likely to let their children take a risk in the way that we were allowed to take risks in the past?
I think you just answered your own question. I think that that's it. I have a touch of that with Phoebe, who's 19 going on 20 now. So she's fully grown. She's an adult. I always say, like, you're an adult. You could move to Australia and never speak to us again. Like, you can do what you want to do. But every time she drives home from Lawrence, Kansas, I'm a mess. You know, I worry too much about her. I know the level that I should worry about her, which is a normal parenting level. I worry more than that. To my credit, I don't put it into action. I don't blow her up about it. I don't push her on things. I don't question her. You know, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you this? I just suffer silently inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably... I'm from the first generation of real pedophiles and serial killers and I forget the young lady's name who disappeared and it was all over unsolved mysteries and Dominic. Things like no Klaus.
Yeah.
And that just terrified everyone. And I remember having an argument with a good friend of mine who is a pediatric psychiatrist. And he said, Dave, you're wrong. You are doing more harm to your kids than good by not letting them go out on their bikes. And like, I don't think Phoebe was ever out of our sight or another parent's sight until they were deep into their teenage years. So I understand that. I'm probably in the middle. I was probably the gateway generation to what's going on now.
Yeah, the person who wrote this opinion piece says, this is straight from the article, most American parents are terrified of everything, and it's a pathological level of fear. Sugar? Oh, can't have that. Your kid will get diabetes and die. Sharp objects at a young age? Oh no, they'll stab themselves. Failing grades? Can't have that. Little Timmy will feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's
pathologic is the right word.
Yeah, there's a mix, right? I mean, like, there are some things that we are better at in this regard, right? Things that we, Dave, could have been better protected from.
Yes.
Could have been done better. And I think that we, and by we, I mean younger boomers, older Gen Xers, whatever. So anything Gen X and younger, we've overcorrected.
Correct.
And I may include myself. I have a 27-year-old kid who did not have the freedom to go just walk five blocks to do whatever she wanted when she was 10 years old. You know, part of that was, I think, just because nobody else was. So there was no like, okay, yeah, go ahead, go with your friends. But also that was my kid is also someone that didn't want to drive until she was 8 weeks. She didn't start to drive until she had to. Because you're like, you're going to college. You need a car. You need to be, you need to be able to do this. And she didn't need to. And some of this is tech, right? When we were kids, the only way to hang out with your friends was to go be where your friends were. And now they can chat, they can text, they can, there's a lot more contact all the time as opposed to just when you go are mm-hmm. in the same place. So I think that influences some of that. But I see it a lot too. Where I think we really overcorrect is the not letting kids fail. They don't learn the lessons that you have to learn from failing. And if they don't learn that, they're going to learn it at a much more important stage in life later.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we're protecting the kid from feeling bad about their grades when they're 8,
mm-hmm.
that's great. But by the time they need to go to college or they get to college and it gets real and there's no bailing them out of it, it's a problem. I see it in sports quite a bit. Where you don't want, trying to protect your kid from failing and you don't want them to think it's ever their fault. Well, no, they need to know what their job is and what it's not, because when you're older, nobody will care about your feelings. You will either be able to do it or not do it, and that's it. It's a pass or fail. And if you don't fail early, you don't learn what you need to get better at so that you don't fail later.
Although I'll push back a little bit on that. I think I have been surprised because Rach, as recently as you being on the show, you'll remember this when Mark Close would talk about, oh, you millennials, one of these days you're going to hit the buzzsaw of the corporate world and no one's going to care. Well, turns out they did care and they hired handlers. Not every company's like that, but millennials have been handled far more with kid gloves than we were. But you're right, Kevin, as far as other people. Other people aren't going to look out for you, boyfriends, girlfriends, strangers. They're not going to care about your feelings the way that your parents did.
Well, the people that are processing your college admission, they're not worried about that. They have 10,000 applicants for 5,000 spots, and they're just going to sort them. And you got to be able to know what it takes to, again, that's just one example. I use the sports example too. Okay, so you let it slide, you make the kid feel better about themselves when they're 12, 13. Well, then when they're 15, high school coach isn't going to let it slide. The college coaches that are looking at it, they're not going to let it slide. They're going to write you off because of it. And you need to learn earlier that, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough at this. I need to get better at it. And that's okay. Like that's I think we've got to get back to being like failing is normal. It's all of us fail. You don't get through life without it. And you don't learn lessons too often from success
mm-hmm.
because that means you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that, I do think that we fell in, Dave, our generation fell into the fear-mongering, right? I mean, in the 70s is kind of when it started, right? Because in the 70s, you had all of the TV networks, right? It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? Like, that was a thing.
Which the very fact that they had to ask that.
Well, this is it, right, because we were pretty free.
Yes.
and that was probably too much. We probably had too much freedom, but there was an overcorrection. But think about it. If you go 10 years, 12 years, we grew up as kids hearing, do you know where your children are? From your TV, from the TV news. And you're going to, some way, some level, that's going to impact you. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously impacted some of us more or less than others. But it's not going to go back the other direction until we as a whole society stop always emphasizing the negative and the scary.
So you two being in your early mid-30s without kids yet, if you had kids, what is your instinct on how you would parent? Hearing us talk about this all the time and hearing me say that the best parent is averaging out my parents with me, what is your instinct to how you would try to aim the ball?
I would try to aim the ball in a way where I would care about my child's feelings, but this is something that I have just observed. Maybe I'm wrong and no one's like this, but I feel like a lot of parents today and a lot of parents my age are afraid of their children being upset with them.
100%.
In a way where, like, my parents did not care if I was not happy with this situation. It was just like, you got to do what we say you got to do.
Might have actively preferred it, Mike. Yeah. They might have actively preferred
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I remember crying and them laughing and then crying harder.
Yes.
I definitely kept that. I was not the big, you're upset, well, then I'm going to change. Like, no, this is the way that it is, and you can go be upset if you want to, and you'll get over it. But I was more protective about the going outside and just running free like I did.
I think I will be extremely protective about the going outside thing because I get nervous seeing stranger. If I see a stranger walking ahead of their kid, it makes me nervous. I'm like, someone could come snatch your kid right now. It's probably not going to happen, but it could. And whenever I worked at the mall, I would be like down in our little kiosk and I would see this at least once a day. A child wanting to go do something and the parents losing their patience and saying bye and walking away. Yep. And I was
leaving.
That's the most like mean, like psychologically damaging thing to be like, I'm leaving you at the mall. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Now it usually got the kid to come along. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it like really bothered me.
I've told the story so many times. Charlie's Market had four aisles and I was in the detergent aisle and I wanted something and only my weird ass wanted something from the detergent aisle.
Say, detergent?
You wanted the snuggle.
And my mom was like, I'm leaving. See ya. And she went to the front. And I remember thinking, like, well, I'm going to have to find a wife here.
This is my home now.
I have to support myself. Maybe I'll work for Tide.
Well, they do have food here.
Could someone please get me a change of address form?
Welcome back, DGS. Bottom of the hour. Our buddy Jimmy Griffin's coming in with Neil Salsic. We have Bernie Miklas at 3 p.m. Dave Murray, Matt Pauly coming up, big packed show. Been asking you guys to go to the Odyssey app and go to the KMOX page. And right next to Listen Live is a microphone. You click on it, you can leave us a 60-second message. Anything is fine. You can do it like in real time. Like when Bernie's on, you could say like, Bernie's full of crap, or boy, he's right on. He's never been so right about the Cardinals. And we can play that. And it's kind of replacing phone calls for us, which is great. And we're asking people especially to ask us questions with the Ask DGS, and I think we have one now.
Hey DGS, if you could only pick one song to be the anthem of your life, what would it be and why?
Wow.
Ooh, that's a fun one. The anthem of my life.
I know.
That's a heavy question. Because I have my song that if we do a DGS Live or something, my walkout music, which is Heavy Metal Drummer by Wilco. But I don't know if that's like my life anthem. In fact, it's not, because it's about like people playing music down by the river, which is not something that I do.
Mine probably is my walk-on song, which is Have You Seen Me Lately by Counting Crows. I'm on the radio, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that would probably be mine. It reminds me, though, when I was about 12, someone asked that in a group of people. And Pinball Wizard was new from Elton John. And I started to say it. I'm sorry, yeah, by The Who. And some kid goes, Pinball Wizard. I'm like, no, I'm Pinball Wizard. I'd never seen a pinball machine.
That's me.
I certainly didn't play it all the time.
Oh, man.
I have such a subtle wrist.
I'd say Pinball Wizard probably, yeah.
What about you, Wheels? You seem like you would have an anthem ready to go.
Is it the one about like beating up your kids or whatever that you played for the Sweet 16?
Beating up your kids.
No, it's telling your kids to get off your asses. That wouldn't be too bad. No, that'd be all right.
Beating up your kids.
Yeah.
That defines Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, sometimes.
So Wheeler.
God almighty. I don't know. Are we supposed to pick one that kind of fits the personality or just like, the one you're they, like, this is what I would
play
do?
Play at your funeral. What most represents you?
Maybe I should do a party rock anthem by LMFAO.
I got a lot. Oh, yeah. Probably Sick by Slipknot.
And sing that for us, please.
I can't.
Can you please recite the lyrics to that if it wouldn't be too much?
The first word of the song is pain.
Man,
oh, is that the one that's like
dark.
Pain?
Yeah.
Without love.
No, I can't. There's too many risky swears in there.
When I think of Kevin, I think of pain.
And sick.
And, well, it's also spelled the apostrophe S-I-C, like, you know, when you're correcting something in a sense, it's not spelled
sick. Oh, you
sick,
have a
like
shirt that says that on.
I do. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's probably the song. Wow. If you look on my phone, that's the song that has been listened to the most of any song in any of my...
Wow.
Yep.
I got to look this song up.
Yep.
Got to learn a little more about Kevin.
It's a rager.
Andrew, you got one?
Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison, I think, would have to be. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Maybe one of those songs that I did for the Sweet 16 the other day. Maybe like Optimistic by Radiohead. I don't know. Radiohead seems like a good thing to pick for a song.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Can I steal that? I want to do Subterranean Homesick Alien.
That was kind of my first thought, too, for mine. But yeah,
you can have it.
Nah, you can have
it. You know, you brought up Radiohead.
I could go Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
That's a fun one.
That's a good song. I like that one. I liked them back then. I liked The Offspring back then.
Maybe Sometimes I Feel Like a Nut, Sometimes I Don't. The Almond Joy song.
That's Dave Glover for you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 235. The best musicians in town. We have our buddy Jimmy Griffin, the fifth Beatle of the DGS. Neil Salzig from Mighty Pines. They have the Pines Fest coming up Saturday, August 24th. Big Top in Midtown. You can get your tickets at MetroTix.com. Huge lineup of bands. Really, really impressive. So, Neil, well done.
Well, thank you, Dave. And it's so good to be here for my debut on the DGS.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. we were just talking. He was like, he didn't realize that you were in my band for so many years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No idea.
I was about to tell the story. The very first time Jim played with us was at New Year's, and huge and thousands of people, big giant stage. They had me out there in front like Rick Emmett from, you know, and I was playing, and I can't play guitar. I can only hold a guitar. But I had my guitar turned all the way up, and it was a hollow body, and it was feeding back, and Jimmy just walked over and turned it down. Like he was my dad and just walked back.
He's like, here's how you do this.
Exactly. I'm like, Jimmy Griffin, everybody.
Well, that, the other one I remember about that is like looking over and seeing your hand and thinking of where my hand was supposed to be and playing chords. And I asked Dave Cowles after the set, I was like, hey, man, I thought this was G and C and D. But Dave was playing blood. He goes, dude, whatever you do, never look at Dave's hand.
It's so true. I'm like playing an F minor ninth or something, and I don't even know why I'm playing it. We had a good time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, always.
We had a blast doing that.
Yes.
So tell us about the show, Neil.
Pines Fest. This is the third annual, so we're off to a great little start in 3 years, and it's going to be pretty amazing event. You know, 10 years from now, we'll see. We're just growing it every year. This year, we have the artist at large, Jimmy Griffin.
That's me.
That's who we're here in the studio with. So exciting. He's going to be playing smoke and electric guitar with each band at Pines Fest. And the audience And the Mighty Pines has no idea what is going to happen. Only Jimmy knows, and he probably doesn't even know.
That's got to be cool.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I might sing. I'm singing with a couple of people and playing guitar. And yeah, it's great for me because some of them I don't know as well as I know Mighty Pines and Beth Bombara and people like that. So it's always interesting for me to meet new people. And
Funky Bud Brass Band, Steve Ewing Band.
Yeah.
Have you played with Steve a lot?
I have never played with Steve.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's worth the price of admission right there.
Fun. Yes, that's two titans of the St. Louis music scene in my eyes. So it's pretty exciting getting to know Jimmy over the last year. We did Voodoo Who together about a year ago. That was August 10th last year. And then we've done one of those gigs since, and I learned just to call you Jimmy, not Jimbo.
Right.
So I did that
that's a non-starter.
That was kind of my moment of him kind of turning Jimmy down Jam. My guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take Jimmy Jam over Jimbo.
I didn't know. I really didn't know. I'm trying my best here.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was going to say the only person that ever calls me Jimbo is James Walburn. That's the only guy.
Oh, yeah. He can call you anything he wants.
Exactly.
So are we going to have the Dave Glover Band at Pines Fest 4 next year?
You know what? Kelly from Trixie has been on me for 3 years now for me to join them to make the Dave Glover Band.
Now that I know that Jimmy was the guitarist because we're so excited about this year, but of course, we're already thinking about next year. That's just the way that these are year-long, projects where it's just kind of, it's like an extra person living in your house, always there. So the best day of my year will be August 25th.
Absolutely.
The day after Pines Fest. That's also my birthday.
Oh,
nice.
The best birthday gift I could have is just having a successful event be over.
Yeah.
Yes. And
so tell people about Mighty Pines.
Yes. Mighty Pines. A quartet or a quintet. Our fifth Beatle is Dave Grelly. He's an incredible...
Dave's not bad.
No.
He's an incredible...
You could do worse.
Piano player. Yeah, so that's our fifth Beatle. But we started out as a quartet for St. Louis kids. Started out at the most podunk, crummiest bar gigs you could imagine in St. Louis. Like, you name it, we've played it.
Good for you.
We've played for... Our first gig was $25 a man and free beer at Pat's Tavern, Pat's Bar in Dogtown.
Sure.
And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
I just thought, are you kidding me? Like, I, 25
free
bucks.
Beer?
Free beer. That was worth way more to me at the time. So, it's been a long road since then. It's been a lot of fun. We've done a lot of touring in the last couple of years. We've mostly stuck around St. Louis, mostly just recovering from the pandemic, I mean, it's funny. That's like a lifetime ago, but in a professional sense, it really wasn't. It was just a couple of years ago, and it was just like this whole crazy shakeup. So we kind of had to regroup and like use our best advantages and resources in St. Louis and the whole metro, which we've been doing for a couple of years. And that's when we decided, hey, we're going to put on this festival every year, and we're going to bring all these incredible acts in St. Louis and beyond. So this year we have... the Hen House Prowlers from Chicago, an incredible, incredible bluegrass band. And I mean real bluegrass. If you've never seen like real live bluegrass in front of you, there's this old quote about how it's basically like early rock and roll. It's just on acoustic instruments, but that's the truth, man, when you see it. And then we have Handmade Moments from New Orleans, who are an incredible duo that cover everything from like almost pre-war jazz ragtime to like incredible singer-songwriter Carole King stuff, and it's like somehow all just makes sense and sounds great. So we've got them in addition to all these other St. Louis bands.
Did you guys do one of the pageant shows at the pandemic during the pandemic when nobody in it?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
During the pandemic,
that's when I first saw, that was the first time I saw those guys.
We headlined the pageant. We headlined the Fox Theater, but the pageant had no one in there. It was a live stream, and the Fox, like, they sold like 250 tickets, in pods or whatever. But hey, still pretty cool.
That
right?
had to be weird.
Oh, it was so weird, man. It was super weird.
It's crazy when you finish. I mean, just like the first time I tuned into those baseball games where they piped in the crowd noise, which eventually I got used to and I started to appreciate. I was like, okay, I'm glad they're doing this. But at first, we were at the pageant. You finish your song. And yeah, just
crickets.
When we first started playing, we played it off Broadway, and there was an opening act, and it's kind of an Indigo Girls kind of vibe. And I walked in with my equipment, and there wasn't an empty seat. It was just packed. And I'm like, I may quit radio. This is what I'm going to do. And they finished, and everyone but Jim Modulin and his girlfriend left. We played to Jim and his girlfriend.
Oh,
like every musician has stuff like that. Colin Hay from Men at Work, when he there's this special about him where it's called Man at Work, and he was going out solo, and he showed up at a gig, and this is the lead singer of Men at Work, one of the biggest bands of the 80s and 90s, and there was not a single person there. And his manager came out to the van and said, "Colin, there's no one there. Let's pack up. Let's go." And he goes, "Someone might show up." And he played.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that
He's
something?
A better man
that's
than
a, that's
I am.
An
I don't know if
right
I have
there.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if I have that inside me. Wow.
But like you said, starting out at those crummy little bars, getting paid $25 and beer, those are some of your best times. I mean, back, Jim, when you like King of the Hill and those kinds of bands, when you were coming up, I'm sure you look back on that with like just great nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best nights we ever had, there were 20 people there. And we would just, you like get into it and you can tailor it to just those 20 people who are involved in it. And it can be really fun.
Do you guys want to play something?
Oh, we could.
Why don't we just take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll have the guys play some music. Quick break right back, DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have a long time friend of the show, Jimmy Griffin. Neil Salzig, been listening to the show for a long time, right?
Yeah.
So Neil with the Mighty Pines. The Pines Fest is coming up Saturday, August 24th at the Big Top in Midtown. What's that place like? I'm not familiar with it.
It's a circus tent.
Oh, that's the place. Okay.
Circus Flora, if folks
have
been
there. Yeah.
So it's pretty wild when you step inside the tent and you're going to hear Jimmy Griffin playing with the Mighty Pines and Steve Ewing Band and all these great bands.
That's awesome. I love it. So you can get your tickets at MetroTix.com. So there you go. So the guys are going to play us. What are you going to play?
We are going to do an old nugget. I think the folks will know it.
This is actually the first song I ever learned on the guitar.
Nice.
Wow.
A little Jimmy Griffin
more
history.
Serendipity. And I do want to give a shout out to the charitable partner for Pines Fest this year. And this song will be dedicated to them. That's the Angel Band Project. And they're just an incredible, incredible group that's providing free music therapy programs for those who have been impacted by sexual and intimate partner violence.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, it's really a beautiful, beautiful organization. I encourage the listeners to go look it up. And we're excited to work with them this year. So this goes out to the Angel Band Project.
One, two, three.
searching for a heart of gold. I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
Nice.
Very nice.
A little trivia question.
Yeah.
Do you know who sings backup vocals on that song?
I do not.
I do.
It's that is Linda Ronstadt and James Taylor.
Wow.
Wow, that's so cool.
Were they big at that time? Were they Linda Ronstadt and James Taylor at that time?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was, what, 72?
71,
yeah.
I think. And they're also on Old Man, I think.
Oh, okay.
Could be wrong.
Man, we grew up in a great time.
No.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
God.
Yes. We didn't have Slipknot yet, but
I mean, kind of glad I'm here now.
Even a metal guy has to appreciate that, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just sit here and I'm looking at you guys. Like, first of all, it feels weird to look at your faces when you're doing that, but I'm watching you guys play, and I'm always fascinated by guitar and how it's just instinct where your hands need to be, where the fingers need to be. It's mind numbing.
Not for all of us.
No, I can't do any of those things at all.
Jimmy was in the wrong key.
I could smash a guitar. That's my only thing I could do.
I remember being 16, maybe younger than that, maybe 14 or 15, going to a friend's house, and they had a band in the basement. And the drummer's name was Tim Masiko, and they were playing Rock Candy. Mm. And they were way too loud, and it was hitting my chest, and it was magic. Magic. What was your introduction to something like that?
My friend's older brother's band. They were called the Castaways. They were big into like the Police and Rush and things like that. And they were in high school, and I was probably in seventh or eighth grade. And going down the basement and getting to watch them have band practice was like, oh my God. I mean, the first time it happened, I was probably seven or eight. This was right after I found Kiss, and we were at some, like, it would have been like the Brown Derby or something like a steak place. We were out, you know, and we're all dressed up. And there was this band called the CBD Trio. And I think I still have their 8x10. And they signed it for me. And I like immediately left the dining table and went to the bar where this band was. And the guy had a Les Paul. And I was like, oh, my God. And they were just some like, you know, lounge band from like 77 or whatever. And I thought it was these, like, you know, I was in their fan club and stuff.
Yeah,
matching tuxedos and stuff. Great.
What was yours?
There's so many answers to that, but probably just I had a musical family growing up. But my uncle and his friends would have these like hootenannies basically in their house in Kirkwood. And even as a kid, I just watched them sing these songs that I didn't even know, like Hank Williams songs or Gillian Welch songs and stuff. And just seeing them play these acoustic guitars, but there was some sort of pop to it, you know, like when you're right in the living room.
Yeah.
And they were great musicians. So that's kind of what got me started.
You have some sponsors you want to thank?
Yeah, absolutely. Other than the Angel Band Project, which I did mention.
And the Dave Glover Show for having us.
Yeah, sure.
That's our unofficial That's our inspiration, folks, as the musicians, as we're working on our stuff at home, we're listening to KMOX. And actually, that's the truth for me, believe
it or not.
That's
cool.
But Alliance Credit Union, Four Hands Brewery, of course. They've been in our corner for a long time. Suede Cannabis and Bootleg Revelry. So thanks to those amazing individuals and groups, we're bringing you Pines Fest 3.
What time are you starting the show?
Music starts at 3:30 with the Steve Ewing Band.
Man.
So do not miss it, okay?
No, don't get there late.
Coming out heavy hitting at first.
Yeah.
Go to MetroTix.com. That's Pines Fest. Saturday, August 24th. Tons of great bands from in town and out of town. Then our pal Jimmy Griffin will be the musician at large, playing pretty much with everybody. Good to see you, boys. Thank you
so much.
Thanks, Dave.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.